This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Maya Norfleet. The craft beer scene in St. Louis has experienced several notable developments in the past few months. For more on this, here's economic development reporter Eric Schmidt.
Across the country, the craft beer scene has lost momentum after the past 10 years of strong growth. Since 2015, the number of craft brewers has doubled, but from 2022 to 2023, craft breweries grew less than 1%. That's all according to the Brewers Association for Small and Independent Craft Brewers. Tap rooms, the breweries that sell at least a quarter of their beer at their location, were the only craft brewer type to grow in that period. It's not great news for craft brewers, and we've seen some of this play out in the St. Louis region recently. O'Fallon Brewery shuttered its doors earlier this year, Urban Chestnut Brewing Company filed for bankruptcy protection last month, and another brewery has announced it will shut down in December, Earthbound Beer. The brewery on Cherokee Street in South St. Louis opened about a decade ago, and they've had the kinds of beers you'd expect from a craft brewer, like its bestseller, an Irish Red, or its Meteor IPA. But Earthbound also became known for its self-proclaimed weird beers, like the Jeff Goldplume, a mixed culture fermentation made with plums, rose hips, and lemon zest, or the Dead Druid King, the king of weird beers, based on Bavarian tomb findings from 800 BC that's bittered with oak leaves instead of hops. In a moment, I'll talk with a consumer behavior and marketing expert at Wash U about what's happening with craft beer. But first, let's hear from Stuart Keating, the co-owner and former head brewer at Earthbound Beer. Keating says the brewery has been planning to close gracefully for about a year, and there are several reasons why.
There is the craft beer core demographic has aged about a decade since in the decade we've been doing this, go figure. So craft beer fans are aging a little bit, and we're not necessarily replacing them with new drinkers, and that's for a variety of reasons. There are other options out there, natural wine, craft spirits, ready-to-drink cocktails, what are known as RTDs in the industry, hard seltzers. Those are all part of the same consumer mix that we're dealing with. And people don't drink as much anymore. I mean, especially younger people aren't drinking, and if they are drinking, they're doing it in the privacy and safety of their own home. People also just aren't going out as much.
He's well aware that his brewery isn't the only one facing these challenges. So does that mean the craft brewing market in St. Louis is oversaturated? Keating says that's a complex question.
I think that we're seeing some closures, and I think that a lot of breweries are over capacity. So you're going to see a reduction in market presence from some breweries and some closures. But I don't necessarily know that we're oversaturated. And it's like asking if St. Louis is oversaturated for restaurants. Like, we expect restaurants to turn over because some concepts work, some concepts don't. Some hit lightning in a bottle. Some places that are really good don't make it for reasons that are outside of their control. Or like Bull Rush are fully within their control, and they just don't, they just say they want to be done. So I don't necessarily know that we're oversaturated. I think that the taproom market may not be oversaturated necessarily, because you can, I don't know, this is a hard question, because you have the taproom market where people are showing up to drink beer in your own taproom. And then you have the distribution market that's bars and restaurants around town. And then you have the distribution market that's grocery stores, liquor stores, convenience stores.
Keating says he's proud that he paid Earthbound staff above the market rate and that the business put any extra profits into wages. And while St. Louis's strong craft brewing scene definitely increases competition among a dwindling consumer base, he doesn't mind.
When you have a saturated local market, you have really happy consumers. It keeps the prices down for the consumers. You get a really good variety of beer. It's all very local, so that's awesome. I personally am a fan of very inefficient economies. Inefficient economies means more people are getting paid and fewer hedge funds are getting paid. And so it is, in some ways for us, there's a bit of a squeeze, and that affected our decision somewhat. But it's also really cool to have such a robust, healthy set of breweries all producing interesting beers.
That's Stuart Keating, the co-owner and former head brewer of Earthbound Beer. The South St. Louis brewery on Cherokee Street announced it will close in December. But before then, they plan to have one last party on November 22nd to celebrate 10 years in business. Joining me now is Fausto Gonzalez, an assistant professor of marketing at the Olin Business School at Wash U. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hey, how's it going, Eric?
So after listening to Stuart Keating, what's your reaction to what he said?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of the things that he touched on, I'm noticing as well. So one of the things that you mentioned was that, you know, throughout the 2010s, there was a pretty stark rise in the number of breweries throughout the country. So the number of breweries throughout the country was pretty stable. And then from about 2010, when you had roughly 1,800 breweries, you saw a meteoric rise in terms of the number of breweries that were popping up throughout the country. So I think last year we saw roughly just under 10,000 breweries. And so you see that there was quite a bit of interest and excitement about this sort of thing during the 2010s and sort of into the last few years as well. Now, I think one of the interesting things that, you know, people are sort of wondering is whether or not there has been a shift in sort of the number of young consumers who are drinking and consuming beer. And I think overall, there's been a general shift downward in terms of the number of people who are drinking as a whole from a younger demographic. Mm-hmm. And so generally what you're seeing, I think, is not necessarily something that is specific to the craft beer industry, although there are some signs that the craft beer industry is uniquely hurting in this, in reaction to people drinking less in general.
Yeah. Back to that growth over the past 10 years, was there any type of consumer segment that helped really drive it?
Yeah. So generally the types of consumers who tend to drink craft beers are those who are young. They tend to be men. So actually men tend to outnumber women roughly 2-1 in terms of those who drink beer regularly. And in general, it tends to be people who come from a relatively high income. And so, you know, craft beer naturally is something that costs a little bit more than mass market beer. And so if you have a consumer base that has a little bit more disposable income, then you're likely going to get people who tend to buy.
Yeah. And you touched on this a little bit, but I mean, so what's changed now? I mean, why are we seeing more places, at least locally in St. Louis, either closing, filing for bankruptcy? What might be driving that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it might be a little early to tell, especially because we're starting to see a little bit of a plateau in growth and a little bit of a pullback, as you all have mentioned. Some of the people who have talked about this have cited oversaturation in the market, but then there are a number of other factors that could be playing a role.
Like what?
To some extent, there might be increased competition, and so it's making it harder for craft breweries to just compete. Some of that is competition from mass market breweries who are interested in capturing some of that demand for craft beer. But then you also have just shifting preferences and tastes. So some people who are in a younger demographic also tend to like a variety of drinks. And so some of them are gravitating towards different things like spirits or ready-to-drink cocktails or seltzers, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, there are so many more products on the shelves these days that fit in the what would have just been the beer aisle. I mean, you mentioned them, seltzers, canned cocktails, even some non-alcoholic options. Can you expand a little bit more on how that is playing out here? I mean, these products didn't exist, or a lot of them didn't exist 10 years ago. So how does that change affect what we're seeing?
Yeah, interestingly enough, the kinds of people who tend to drink a lot of craft beer also just tend to drink a lot of alcohol in general relative to the rest of the population. And so part of that is just having to do with people sort of finding the variety that comes with just having a taste for different types of alcohol.
Mm-hmm. So as we see this trend, is this something special to St. Louis, or are we kind of swept up in something happening more nationally?
Yeah, so the Brewers Association has suggested that, you know, there's not one region driving a change in consumption, and so it's not specific to any group. It's hard to say whether or not more locally there's anything specific happening in St. Louis, but I would say if there is any sort of trend, it's likely something that's happening at a broader level. And so if people are naturally scaling back how much they drink, and we're seeing that in general, then it's likely something that's going to shake out in the St. Louis region as well. Now, it's interesting that, you know, we're seeing a lot of local breweries who are maybe sort of having a harder time. So, of course, there have been a few breweries like O'Fallon that has filed for bankruptcy, Earthbound, who's decided they are finally closing down, and And then you have other breweries like Urban Chestnut that has also filed for bankruptcy. But these are all sort of happening for various reasons. The owners of Earthbound, I think, have said that they were sort of trying an experimental process and that that experiment has run its course. And other breweries like Urban Chestnut have suggested that they're simply restructuring and they're sort of moving forward with a plan for growth. And so you're getting such different reasons for these breweries sort of either closing down or, you know, filing for bankruptcy or whatever it is, it's hard to really pin down one thing that's happening locally. And of course, there's still a lot of different local breweries that people have options for. So it's, you know, although the timing suggests that maybe, you know, there is some of this, you know, pullback in consumption happening in the St. Louis region, I wouldn't necessarily say that that's sort of a trend that's going to happen and carry through to St. Louis as a whole.
Mm-hmm. It sounds almost like you're saying there are a lot of different factors at play here, and each individual business is experiencing something a little bit differently. And you can't just paint a broad brush and say, well, because a couple breweries kind of at the same point in the year either said they were going to file for bankruptcy or that they were announced that they were closing, that it's some massive trend and that they're experiencing the same thing. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's been a lot of sort of weird quirks that have been played out in the economy over the last few years, mostly because, as we know, post-pandemic inflation has affected costs in all sorts of different ways. And so people are sort of scaling back or spending in different ways. You know, interestingly enough, the cost of beer has also gone up. And so that could affect whether or not people are spending that money on beer. So if you look at the consumer price index, I think the price of beer even in last year has gone up roughly 3.5%, which in comparison to things like spirits that have gone up roughly 0.1% and wine that's gone up roughly 0.6%, it's a pretty big shift for one type of drink, right? And so you have people who maybe are sort of more price conscious or maybe they're just being more mindful or just of what they're spending or just generally being, you know, more adventurous about other things that they're trying. And so I wouldn't necessarily say that that's explicitly putting pressure on the microbreweries or the craft brewery industry, but there might just be general sort of trends toward drinking less.
And I want to go back to something that Stuart Keating had said before we started talking, which is about the demographics that they were serving. You know, they opened up 10 years ago. 10 years later, the people who they are serving are 10 years older. So what's there to be said? I think there's been a lot made about younger people not being as interested maybe in drinking as much. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think to some extent I fall into kind of this aging demographic of people who maybe were interested in craft beer at the height of its popularity. And so, you know, when I was doing grad school on the West Coast, that was at the height of kind of this explosion of craft breweries. And so for me, it was really exciting to try all of these different new beers that were popping up and all of these different local breweries that were popping up. And so I think still there is a lot of demand for craft breweries, especially because people like supporting local businesses. But in general, you're just seeing fewer people drinking on a regular basis, and then you're seeing fewer people who are reporting drinking craft beer than those who were doing that roughly 10 years ago.
That was Fausto Gonzalez, assistant professor of marketing at the Olin Business School at WashU, in conversation with St. Louis Public Radio's economic development reporter, Eric Schmidt. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's jump back into economic development reporter Eric Schmidt's conversation with Fausto Gonzalez, assistant professor of marketing at the Olin Business School at WashU. They're discussing the state of the craft beer industry in St. Louis. Here's Eric.
How much do you feel like the pandemic plays a factor into this in terms of people reevaluating their relationship with craft beer or alcohol in general?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not entirely sure. I think there's a lot of interest in sort of just trying different sorts of drinks. There's a lot of interest in, at least sort of just after the pandemic, there was a lot of interest in people sort of getting back out there and doing things. And I think there was a slight uptick in people sort of drinking during the pandemic. Since then, you've seen a little bit of a decrease in the number of people who report drinking frequently. And so part of it could be that they're more aware of health concerns, or they're generally sort of trying to take better care of themselves. And so you've just seen a little bit of a shift in terms of how consumers are using this type of product.
Mm-hmm. Back to Stuart Keating for a little bit. What do you make of his comment about being a fan of inefficient economies? Kind of that this sense of that a saturation of craft breweries in St. Louis means lower prices, more choices, and you know, how is that good for consumers?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, at some point in these industries where you get a pretty strong rise and sort of increase in, you know, the number of options for consumers, it's often a really good thing for them, you know, at least in the short term, because basically it suggests that they have a lot of options and it suggests that they, you know, are going to benefit from the competition that comes from craft breweries that are trying to either appeal to their preferences or give them craft beer at a cheaper price. Now, there is a point at which supply can sort of reach higher levels than demand, and so you often will see a bit of a scaling back in the number and amount of growth for different types of industries. And this often happens, right? Things sort of shake out once you get a rise in popularity for a specific product, and then over time, the things that are still consistently popular and the things that consistently are competing at a high level often shake out. You often see it's the case that, you know, as sort of things play out, the types of companies that compete the best and sort of offer the best product offerings to consumers will often sort of win out in terms of just sticking around in the market.
Mm-hmm. Well, that takes me to Urban Chestnut and their announcement to partner with Sugarfire now. And that kind of resembles a little bit of what we've seen with Four Hands and Peacemaker and that partnership out in Kirkwood. What are your thoughts on that approach from UCBC?
Yeah, it's a really interesting approach, I would say, because one of the things that people cite as a reason for drinking craft beer is that they tend to really like the local aspect of it. So they like the idea of supporting a local business. They like the idea that they're sort of fostering some local pride. And as we know, Sugarfire and Urban Chestnut both have a lot of local support. And so, you know, it seems really smart for a company like Urban Chestnut to partner with a company like Sugarfire that has a lot of local support. And so I'm curious to see how that ends up playing out, but I think overall it's a smart decision.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to Earthbound Beer's Stuart Keating. When I spoke with him, he said something that goes beyond the economics or the consumer behavior of craft beer.
I have a whole thing about mom and pop businesses. Like, I think that they're really, really important community spaces. Like, because they're so deeply embedded in the community and they do so many things within the community, they operate differently than a Chili's or a TGI Fridays or a McDonald's or whatever. And I used to joke that nobody's ever had a good idea at a Chili's or an Applebee's. And because you don't go to Applebee's to have like a great, interesting conversation. You go to Applebee's because it's right off the interstate, or because you're, you know, have to go eat with like 8 coworkers or your kid's soccer team or whatever. And to the extent that I am sorry that we are closing, it's because we worked really hard to be part of the community, and we're not going to be able to provide that service anymore. But I know that someone's going to move in and do something similar, or I hope that someone's going to move in and do something similar on that spot. So, you know, that's just part of the nature of the universe is change.
So I'm curious of what you make of that. What's the value beyond economics in these locally owned businesses being community spaces?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you know, people really like these local businesses in general, and they really like craft beer because it tends to be a local brewery that is doing a lot of work to use high quality ingredients. They often source things locally, and I think there's a lot of community pride around these sorts of companies, especially when you get some of them that are really competing at a high level. For instance, you know, Side Project is considered, you know, a really stellar brewery that sort of creates beer that is recognized at a high level. And so you often get people who really have a lot of pride in that sort of thing. And in addition, people just generally like supporting local businesses, as I've mentioned. And so, you know, with that, you know, it's, I think, you know, Earthbound was a really interesting brewery because they would often sort of innovate and try different things. And I think that is going to be sorely missed in those consumers who really appreciate a beer company that's willing to experiment. And that's one of the big sells of craft breweries, right? They often will use traditional methods, but they also look to innovate and try new things. With that, I'm curious to see how the craft beer scene sort of continues to evolve in St. Louis, because as you know, we have a rich history of beer brewing in this city. And so it's important to see that there are other companies that are going to be willing to take on the approach that Earthbound has in terms of innovating and trying new things.
Mm-hmm. So I guess either you could take this question one of two ways. Would you expect more breweries to close or more to pop up? I mean, what do you think of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's hard to say at this stage, right? It's sort of, I think like I mentioned earlier, there's been a little bit of a trend in the last year or so, but it's hard to know whether or not that's going to be a continuing trend and whether or not things are going to right themselves. And then we'll see sort of, again, a continued increase in the number of microbreweries or craft breweries. You know, there are shifts toward maybe sort of trying different things in terms of opening up, you know, brew pubs or, you know, tap rooms, that sort of thing. And so I'm sort of curious if maybe people or if businesses maybe shift in one direction or another. So it's really hard to say. I wouldn't necessarily sort of put a prediction on whether or not I expect things to sort of evolve in terms of, you know, more breweries closing or more breweries sort of opening. But generally, I think it's I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Is what I would say.
Yeah. So what might help separate, you know, the winners from the losers in this case? I mean, I think about Four Hands, who they've expanded recently in craft beer, but they've also made a foray into cocktails. Is differentiation the key, or is expanding the amount of products that you have on able to connect with consumers key? I mean, what's going to be the differentiating factor here?
Yeah. I think sort of considering that a lot of consumers and young consumers in general tend to want variety and tend to want to try different things. I do think it's smart when companies do offer more product offerings than just beer. And it's smart from a segmentation perspective too, right? If you want to go and hang out and have some craft beer, then you have to take into account that the people that you want to go with may not want to drink that, right? And so if you still want to go to a craft brewery, it's probably going to be an easier sell to say, well, hey, they have, you know, cocktails, or they have hard seltzers, or, you know, what have you, right? So it's going to be really helpful, I think, for companies that understand that there are consumers who are still interested in craft beer, but are also maybe leaning towards trying other things. And if you can offer more product offerings to consumers, then I think that would help as well.
Mm-hmm. So how do you market that? I mean, how do you get that into the hands of consumers so they understand that, well, in the case of Four Hands, they might not just be a craft brewer, but have all these other options. How do you get that message across?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think part of it is making sure that consumers are aware of product offerings. And so, you know, at a basic level, it's just informing consumers that you have these options. And if you can turn folks out to your brewery in general, then that's sort of a perfect opportunity to give them a chance to try these different cocktails. And so it's, you know, a lot of local breweries don't necessarily, you know, advertise, but I think oftentimes they will distribute their beer in spaces that people are sort of curious about trying the specific local beers, right? Urban Chestnut and a lot of these local breweries often distribute their beer in local events. If they decided to try distributing sort of other versions of their product, that might be some version of that where they can do it. There might be a space in sort of local events where they can try to do that sort mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm.
So it would be important to have the offerings in the tap room or in the brew pub, and then also out in different spaces in the community where people can kind of get the understanding and say, okay, I understand that this brewery has these other ranges of products, not just trying to rely on seeing those products at a grocery store.
Yeah, if it's feasible, right? So, you know, obviously breweries or craft breweries don't want to lose sight of their sort of core product offering. And so they want to make sure that consumers understand that they are a craft brewery, and that's, you know, sort of where they dedicate their time and efforts. But where it's possible, you know, consumers generally sort of tend to like variety. And if that's something that is a trend that we're seeing, then it might be useful and smart to offer extra or different types of products.
This episode was produced by Eric Schmidt and Alex Hoyer, with editorial assistance from Brian Moline.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.